Wow, it is darn great to be back. Welcome into a Thursday show. We're locked in, loaded, and ready to go. Yeah, a couple things have happened in my life over the last 10 days or so. Hope you've enjoyed the week. We got today, we've got tomorrow at the 1925 Pub House of the Courtyard. Let's finish strong this week. It's a nice day out there. And look, for the first time in a long time, we've had the combination of the Indianapolis 500 and the Indiana Pacers to discuss throughout. And, you know, I hate the fact that I'm kind of coming in on the middle of all of this because for those of you that do not know, my family added a very precious member to it last Tuesday, or I guess it was last Wednesday, excuse me. Our baby boy was born, my wife and I's baby boy born, on Wednesday morning at 12:20 a.m. And Leo Forster's doing great. My wife, Tori, is doing great as well. And got to spend some very, very, very great time with both of them. But as kind of the plan was, and look, I got to thank a lot of people here. Okay, because, you know, hey, we knew it was coming soon, but obviously you don't know the exact date. You don't know the exact time. And the fact of the matter is this, okay? We set these plans in motion about 5 weeks ago, and the people that helped me kind of make sure this show kept running in my very limited absence, I want to give a big thank you to Zach Johnson, a big thank you to Jared Boomer, both of which at different times throughout the last several years have filled in on this program. But this one was kind of all hands on deck a little bit because, again, I go back to last week, Monday night, I'm watching game one of Knicks Pacers. Okay, I'm watching game one of Knicks Pacers. It lasts till what, about 10:45 at night. I wake up at 1 a.m. to my wife saying, I think it's happening. So that's kind of how it all happened. You know, I was fully anticipating being in the studio on Tuesday, and here we are. You know, here we are about 10 days removed from all of that. It was pretty cool. You know, Wednesday morning, 12:20, he comes into the world. And then that evening, not even 24 hours old, he and I watch game number two together. It was pretty cool. And, you know, there are a lot of things. And look, we're going to get to sports. I have so many things to get off my chest. And quite frankly, there's things that I paid attention to, but for the most part, I tried to turn it off. You know, this is one of those very unique moments where it's not like a vacation, obviously. It's not really time away. This is different. And obviously, you know, I really wasn't looking at email, looking at Twitter, looking at social media. I did watch the games, so we'll talk a lot of Pacers coming up here in a little bit. But, you know, to be connected, not in this moment. You know, to be connected to sports, not in this moment. And it was pretty special. So he comes on Wednesday. Then Saturday, we got together with family. Sunday ended up being Mother's Day. And, you know, a lot of you that listen to this program on a daily basis have experienced moments in life that I have never experienced. Well, I have one of those that I have experienced over the last 8 days, and that is to see your spouse, your wife, be a mother. It's been special. It really, really has. It's been a lot of fun over the last week, but I'm fired up to be back. I really, really am, and I appreciate all the well wishes. You know, I think it's a great, small, little representation of what this show has meant in my life since I've been here in Muncie. And I promise you, I'm going to get to sports coming up in a moment, but a lot of you that listen to this program, I become friends with because I've talked to you kind of through the air, and then we've connected in the community in other different ways, and I can't tell you how many text messages, how many calls, how many social media messages that me and my family received, and I can't thank all of you enough for the nice comments, the well wishes, all of those different things, and we're soaking it all up. And you know, obviously, Leo and I and my wife will be watching game number 6 tomorrow night. We've watched each and every game of this series, and it's been fun to watch the Pacers throughout what has been a very incredible last 8 to 9 days. But enough of that, because we are back in action here. You know, there's a lot of things I missed while we were out, and Pacers being the majority of that. We'll get to that coming up here in a little bit. I got a lot of thoughts on it. I upset some people as well with some comments on social media over the last couple of days. Not Indiana Pacers fans, but Knicks fans, so we don't care. But I'll tell you exactly what I mean and exactly how I feel about certain things coming up here in a little bit. We are live from the 1925 Pump House at the Courtyard coming up tomorrow. And Mike Fleck, Ball State men's golf coach, the Mid-American Conference Coach of the Year, is going to join us on site tomorrow. Look, they had an incredible showing at the NCAA Regional in North Carolina, a pretty monumental moment for the program. And, you know, I said this when they accomplished what they accomplished, winning the Mid-American Conference Championship and doing so for the first time in many decades, that this program and this coach and this team, it's been pretty cool to watch the way the community has rallied around Mike Fleck and that crew. Because, you know, look, they have had a very consistent, solid program for many, many years. And to see that breakthrough occur is outstanding. And not only having the breakthrough to win the conference championship and then go to the regional, but to play very well in the regional. I mean, they were setting records for the program in the NCAA regional, playing against some of the top competition in the entire country. And we are fired up to have Coach coming up tomorrow to be able to kind of recap everything that has occurred. And, you know, this is what struck me when we had Coach on a couple of weeks ago, that win in the Mid-American Conference Championship and the success that team had and the steadiness of that group and everything, it wasn't just that group. It was a representation of the program and the many other groups that got oh so close. And, you know, sometimes you hear this, that every team, every program, every year is in isolation. I love the fact that they kind of celebrated the entire journey. You know, Mike Fleck and that crew celebrating the entire journey of that program and where it's come and all the great players that have played there. And this is the group that got it done. I thought that was pretty cool. And so we're going to have a lot of different conversations to have. It's nice to have PGA Championship Week as well. And of course, we're going to get to know Mike Fleck a little bit better as well. A lot of you in the community know him. But as we've done with our first couple of guests at the 1925 Pump House, we're going to ask some questions that he doesn't exactly expect coming his way coming up tomorrow on the patio. We hope you all can join us tomorrow of what we hope, with the weather possibly holding off for a little patio time tomorrow. The other big story with Ball State sports, I love this story. Ball State softball gets all the way to the Mid-American Conference Championship game last week. That's awesome. I mean, super cool. To see what they experienced. You know, on the last day of the regular season, to have to really secure their spot, they do that, and then they battle their way in the Mid-American Conference Tournament. The number 6 seed got all the way to face off against Miami of Ohio in the championship game. Ball State fell 8-0, but to fight, scratch, and claw all the way to the Mid-American Conference Championship game says everything you need to know about Helen Pena's crew. By the way, Helen Pena is going to be the coach with us next week at the 1925 Pump House at the Courtyard. I said this, I think it was last Monday, when Ball State softball secured a spot in the Mid-American Conference Tournament, that, you know, it sounds cliche because it's said a lot, but it's very true that when you are a team over the last 2 to 3 weeks, when you're fighting for a postseason spot, and every game matters, every result matters, every win-loss matters, you know, and you find your way into the postseason, into the tournament, you've been playing postseason ball for longer than pretty much every other team that is in that tournament. And it doesn't mean that that's going to aid you in the tournament, but it certainly does not hurt. Because we all know when it comes to the postseason, regardless of what level, regardless of what tournament it is, you do things just slightly different in the postseason than you do in the regular season. You see it in basketball all the time. The rotations get shortened. Your best players get more and more minutes. Your bench gets far less. The Pacers are kind of the exception of that. But when it comes to Ball State softball, I love the fact that they fought their way in, and it's one of those things that sometimes when you're fighting for one of those last spots in tournament play, maybe you get in and say, we're just happy to be here. Ball State softball wasn't just happy to be there. They were there to compete. And they took care of some teams that, A, were higher seeded, B, had a lot of expectations to do exactly what Ball State did. It was a magical run. It was a magical run that went all the way to the Mid-American Conference Championship game against a top 25 ranked team in the country. Look, I don't know if anybody else except that group expected that run. I thought it was outstanding. I thought it was really cool to watch, really cool to see how it all plays out. And I'm excited to have Helen Pena, the head coach, Ball State softball, with us coming up next week. That's going to be a lot of fun to be a part of and everything along those lines. So those were the two big stories with Ball State sports that we missed over the last 9 days or so. But two really good stories and two stories that certainly we'll be talking a lot about over the next couple of Fridays as we spend some time on the patio of the 1925 Pump House of the Courtyard. So thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. Appreciate you doing that very, very much. So, I imagine a lot of you have been watching a lot of Pacers basketball. And what a series this has ended up being. This has been a really interesting series, and I got to be honest with you, what I expected this series to be back last Monday and what it has actually turned into have really not been all what I've expected. Now, I will make one statement as we go to break here and come back and talk about it more, and I'm going to give you my entire thoughts, because this is like 9 days worth of thoughts of five games of just battles between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. I still maintain, and I'll sit here even if the Knicks get it done tomorrow night, that the Pacers are the better team in this series. They are absolutely the better team in this series. And it really isn't a debate, to be honest with you. If you look at the way these two teams are balanced, it's not really even a conversation. And so when we come back, we're going to talk a lot about this a little bit later on, the Indianapolis 500. We got some exciting conversations that will be coming your way next week on this program for the Indianapolis 500. And unfortunately, due to the fact of my absence for the last 9 days or so, we haven't talked nearly enough Indianapolis 500. Hopefully, next week we can make up for a lot of that. Today, you know, obviously we tried to get a couple of guests on today, but I was kind of out for a little bit of time. But we're back and ready to go, and we'll certainly make up for it coming up next week. So we are fired up. I'm fired up to be back. I shouldn't say we, because this show went on without me and did so in great fashion with Zach Johnson and Jared Boomer. But when we come back, talk about the Pacers. Lots of thoughts here, lots of different things about not just the now, but the future, regardless of how this series ends. Talk about all of that on a Thursday edition of The Power. Hope you're having a great day. We're back with you next on WMUN. As always, brought to you by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture Mattress difference on Nebo Road right here in Muncie, and online at wallsfurniture.com. We are back. have a lot to get to Pacers-wise, and the NFL schedule was released yesterday, so the Indianapolis Colts got to see their schedule in full form. We'll maybe touch on that coming up next week, maybe a little bit later on today, depending on where we land with time today. Pacers have a big game 6 tomorrow night, as other hosts might say, the pivotal game 6. And, you know, you're down 3-2, got to get game 6 and go to a game 7. And, you know, I'm going to go back to the recent developments in this series and then get to the big picture of the whole deal, okay? So, game 5 occurred on Sunday. Okay, so on Sunday, the Pacers had the big 20-plus point win. They couldn't miss. They were sharp from the very beginning. You could see the energy just overwhelmed the New York Knicks. And really, by the middle or end of the third quarter, Pacers had upwards of 30-point leads in that game. It was done. It was going to be a 2-2 series. It was going to move on to Madison Square Garden, and everybody kind of shifted their focus to game number 5. And God's honest truth, promise you, okay? Honest truth. I sat there and I said, this is actually not the best scenario for the Indiana Pacers. The way they won in game number 4 was actually a gift to the New York Knicks. Because if the Knicks were to lose that game, you know, it's still 2-2. You go to Madison Square Garden. You kind of get to set course again. And if the Knicks were to lose, maybe in the moment they wouldn't have thought it this way, but after the fact, they had to think, hey, it's not the worst deal for us to get blown out, because guess what? They are banged up like you cannot believe. Their second-best player, OG Anunoby, hasn't played the last 3 games. Jalen Brunson was nicked up. Isaiah Hartenstein, their big force that had 12 offensive rebounds in the previous game, he was banged up as well. What's the best-case scenario? Oh, I don't know, them sitting the majority of the second half. It ended up, you know, people overlooked that moment right there and felt as though, wow, Pacers have completely stolen momentum. And I would have told you this on Wednesday, yesterday. I would have said this on, or not Wednesday, I would have told you this Monday if I was on the show on Monday. I would have said that exact statement. I would have said, my concern, as great as you looked, as well as you played, as much as you just exhausted that team, you frustrated Jalen Brunson, they got to sit for the entirety of the second half. So not only did they get, you know, the 48 hours in between, they got to rest the majority of their players for the entirety of that second half in a blowout loss. It actually was a gift in disguise to the New York Knicks. Nobody was looking at it that way in the moment. What I heard was, oh man, the Pacers broke the Knicks. The Knicks are on life support. The Knicks are going to have desperation mode coming up in game 5. Folks, it was 2-2. The Pacers lost game 1 and game 2 at Madison Square Garden, albeit in close fashion. But the best case scenario for a team that has been going 6 or 7 deep in the series for the majority is, oh, I don't know, getting blown out in a game and sitting your starters for a half a basketball plus the 48 hours in between. It actually worked out in the Knicks' favor in much more of a way than anybody ever imagined. Crazy to think that way, that in a 22-point loss, you would actually characterize it. And by the way, I think it was a 32-point loss, actually. Pacers, 32-point loss. Crazy enough when you think about it. And then the very next game, the Pacers lose by 30, so I guess it's even. We know for a fact the Pacers aren't 32 points better than the Knicks. We know for a fact the Knicks are not 30 points better than the Indiana Pacers. And sometimes in a series, you have those seesaw efforts in a lot of ways. But I got to tell you, of the two, if you were to say what was more impressive, what the Pacers did in game 4 or what they didn't do, what was more impactful, it's without question game 5. I mean, just without question, Game 5. And I'm going to go back to what I said before break here a moment ago. And I put it out on Twitter, and Knicks fans lost their collective minds. I mean, absolutely lost their minds. I had direct messages. I had replies to my tweet. And they just can't get over that they are actually not the better team in this series. The Indiana Pacers are a better basketball team than the New York Knicks. And it really isn't that hard to understand here. And that's why I think fans, Pacers fans, were so disappointed with game number 5. We're so disappointed with Tuesday night. And you should be. Because you are facing a team that is without its second best player, arguably its third best player, and arguably its fourth best player. So if you really want to, you know, have a law of averages here, the Knicks are without three of their top six players in this series. OG Anunoby for the last three games. Julius Randle, who was an all-star, I believe, this year. Okay? He was the second best player next to Brunson. Okay? And then a sixth man of the year candidate in Bojan Bogdanović went out in the Philadelphia series. He is out now. And the Knicks are playing a lineup of Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Isaiah Hartenstein, Precious Achiuwa, and the other night, Alec Burks had a resurrection and dropped nearly 20 points for a guy that was buried on the bench, didn't play in the first couple of games, and he's lighting up the Pacers, okay? And so when you make the statement that a team's better than you, you think that the statement is taken away from what the other team has accomplished, and that is by no means what I'm saying. What the Knicks are pulling off here is flat out insane, and flat out better coaching and a more dominant star player. Jalen Brunson is a matchup problem for the Indiana Pacers. He's the best player in this series. You can argue he's been the best player in the NBA playoffs, the most dominant player in the NBA playoffs. And oftentimes, what's just mind-boggling, and I don't know if it frustrates you more about your Pacers on-ball defense or just shaking your head and saying, man, he's just really good. Jalen Brunson is going one-on-one far more than this being in the flow of the offense. I mean, this is ISO stuff. They're getting it to him at the top of the key. He takes a couple of dribbles, stops on a dime, and pulls up from mid-range. He's not knocking down 5 or 6 threes a game. He's doing it from mid-range. He's getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, hits a couple threes here and there, but for the most part, it's mid-range and in. He's destroying you. And there isn't a matchup that has worked out in anybody's favor for the Indiana Pacers. I mean, it is wild to watch. But I go back to the Philadelphia series as well. It was the exact same scenario. What Tom Thibodeau has done to maximize his star player being at his best is flat out impressive. It really, really is. And you have to give Jalen Brunson, the Knicks, this team a lot of credit, but I cannot get to the point where I say, yeah, you know what? The Knicks deserve to win this series. They are the better team. They are not the better team. They are not the better team. And that is an indictment on the Indiana Pacers unless things turn around in Game 6, Game 7. You have 7 players averaging double figures, okay? I would say if you stack these two lineups next to one another, you know, the Pacers, are going to rank higher in the number of players you get to before you get to the number 2 player on the New York Knicks individually. Now, I know this is a team game. I get all of that. But this is a much deeper, better scoring, better overall basketball team. Because, you know, the Knicks are pulling 2 guys off the bench in Precious Achiuwa and Alec Burks, who barely played against the Philadelphia 76ers. Like, they are guys that if the New York Knicks were at full strength, they're not playing. It's not like their minutes get reduced. They're flat out not playing. Not playing at all. And those guys are getting buckets against you, hitting big shots in a game five a series setting game five, and you have no answer. And you know, I understand this. Okay, this is the part that is really, really hard to quantify. Okay, and we're gonna get to game six coming up in a moment, but this is the part where I go back to 2018, and I've said this many times on this program over the years. Okay, 2018. The Pacers lost in seven games to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Victor Oladipo, you could argue, was the best player on the floor at different points, with LeBron James on the other side of the floor. You know, you frustrated Cleveland. Game six, Bojan Bogdanovic went off. Game seven, you had your chances. You just couldn't close it out. But at the end of the day, that Cleveland team ended up going to the NBA Finals somehow, some way, which is one of LeBron James's best moments as an NBA player, getting that team to the NBA Finals. Okay, but that's not the point. I remember being on the air the very next day and looking at everything together and looking at the opportunity the Indiana Pacers had in that first round series and saying these words. We're going to find out if this was a blown opportunity or the best is yet to come. Because it is so easy when you have a young team that, you know, let's say the Pacers lose in six games and the narrative is, oh my gosh, you know, hey, wow, nobody expected them to get to the second round. It's true. Nobody expected them to get this far. That's okay. Nobody expected them to get there. But you rely on, well, hey, you know, they're a young team. This could happen again. Hey, they're going to add another piece. Hey, what if? Hey, what if? Hey, what if? And especially in the NBA, where you don't know what's going to happen in an offseason with a Miami Heat team that could possibly acquire a Donovan Mitchell. And then the hierarchy in the Eastern Conference completely gets knocked off its axis. Okay? And so it is the easy way out to say if the Pacers lose this series, yeah, you know what, a valuable learning experience. Oh my gosh, this young group, look at what they accomplished this year. Oh man, the future is bright, the best is yet to come. Okay? Tell me, what did the Washington Wizards win with the most iconic backcourt, young backcourt, in, with John Wall and Bradley Beal? How'd that go? Okay? How'd that go? You know, really, LeBron James, when he was early on in his Cleveland tenure, you know, they had some of the best teams there. Oh, man, they're going to keep building, building. They never got to win an NBA championship until LeBron came back. I mean, the Washington Wizards team is the team that always stands out for me because, you know, think about the teams like the Brooklyn Nets that acquired James Harden, had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. They're going to win multiple championships. Oh, the first year, hey, they're just trying to get it together. It never happened. It never happened for them. It is the easy way out to say this. The best is yet to come. Look at how the first time they've been in this situation. Oh, my gosh. This is just the building block. They've got an opportunity. I am not, by any means, trying to limit anybody's excitement. And don't take this statement as that. But man, what an opportunity you have ahead of you. What an opportunity you had on Tuesday night. Okay? What an opportunity you have in this series to face off against this version of this New York Knicks team. And they are out-efforting you, out-coaching you, and out-playing you. When you are clearly the better team. You are definitely the better team. I will continue to stand on that. And whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter if you're the better team or not. You win a series 4-2, you're moving on to the next series. You win the series in 7-4, you're moving on to the next series. So the better team factor, and this is what frustrated Knicks fans so much on Twitter, it's like, oh my gosh, you can't say that. You can't say that the Pacers are the better team. Well, they are. They have more options. They are more balanced from a depth standpoint. They have more ways to win. Seriously, the New York Knicks cannot win if Jalen Brunson scores 25 points. They can't win. They can't win this series. They win when he scores 35 or more. I mean, that is kind of one way you got to win. Because guess what happened in games 3 and 4? He scored under 30 points, and the Pacers won both games. It happened against Philadelphia as well. Jalen Brunson scored under 30 points. Philadelphia stole a couple of games. It has happened. The Knicks have one way to win, and it is for Jalen Brunson to absolutely go bonkers. And then everybody else kind of fills in the gaps. Guess what? The Knicks are doing that, and they are beating you that way. And that, to me, if the series ends tomorrow, will be the conversation we have on Monday. And I'm going to be real about it. You just got to be. You know, there was a point at this season for the Indiana Pacers where you sat here and said, man, if they win a first-round playoff series, that is a great year. Okay? But that is before you had the opportunity to play the Bucks without Giannis, and you've had the opportunity to play the Knicks with three of their top six players not available in this series. And you're losing. And you might get beaten on your home floor, you know? And even if this series goes to seven games, what happened in game five is tough. It's tough. And, you know, there's been too many moments where Tyrese Halliburton's been nearly non-existent. There's been too many moments of inconsistency with Pascal Siakam. And that's why, to me, like, yeah, it's great for this young team to get in this position, and it's a great accomplishment. It's more than this franchise has accomplished in the last 10 years. That is all valid. But also, not every year is a building block. Not every year it's going to be the same darn Eastern Conference, okay? And this year, for whatever the reason, the Eastern Conference, this is an opportunity. And, you know, you didn't ask for it. You didn't say, hey, you know, I wish, you know, the Bucks are going to be injured. I wish for the Knicks to be injured and banged up. But you got it. And you took advantage of the first one, and this one, quite frankly, I think the Bucks were a better team. I do. I think the Bucks had more dudes on their team that could beat you than this particular Knicks team. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm dead wrong, because the Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers in round number one. But I think this is going to leave a very sour taste in Pacers fans' mouse coming up on Monday, no matter which way this series is lost for the Indiana Pacers. If you win and you move on and you overcome it, like, that's a huge building block. And if you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's when you say, no matter how that turns out, it's all gravy. Not in this circumstance, because I guarantee you, Rick Carlisle and that staff is saying the exact same thing, knowing they are the better team, and it is maddening that they are getting outplayed, out-efforted, out-coached in this series with that Knicks team. And you know what? When we bring all of that up, it's a rivalry, and it sounds like we're putting the Knicks down. To me, I think that is the ultimate compliment that shows just how much a team, just how great Jalen Brunson is, and how great that team is playing right now. Who cares what the numbers say in the stat sheet or whatever the case may be? But I cannot go as far to say they are the better team. They are not the better team. They are not. And I will maintain that. So tomorrow night is a big moment. It's a big moment from a lot of different angles, but for me, it's a major, major moment because, you know, the Pacers have always bounced back this year very well. They've always come off of tough moments and come back with a great performance, okay? This game six is a must, but I don't just want to see them come back from the game five stuff. I don't have any concerns about that. What are we going to see in game seven? Okay, you got to get game six first. You don't want to look ahead to game seven, but, you know, and there's not going to be this news cycle in between, like it's a Wednesday game to a Friday where we have, you know, local sports talk or national sports talk to talk all great about the Indiana Pacers, because I guarantee you, many people on Monday after the Sunday result when the Pacers won by 30-plus were praising them, talking about how they broke the will of the New York Knicks. And I watched that game, and I was impressed But it also stood out to me, hey, that core group for the Knicks got an opportunity to sit for nearly the entire second half. You know, a banged-up team that needed rest, that had a very short rotation. What's the best-case scenario? Quite frankly, it's to get blown out so your team gets rest in a seven-game series. Now, if that was an elimination game, it's a totally different circumstance, but it being a middle series game and it tied 2-2 and the Knicks got blown out by 30, it ended up being a net positive for the Knicks because you saw how they looked on Wednesday or on Tuesday night. I didn't hear that once. I didn't hear that once, and I guarantee I would have said that Monday. I would have absolutely said that Monday. So, big moments coming up. You know, the defensive aspect has been a problem for Indiana all year long, but I just thought that they could never find their offensive rhythm in game number 5. I don't know what it was. It didn't matter who had the basketball. And Tyrese Halliburton looked absolutely lost in the game. And I don't know what it is with him. There's been moments where, you know, he's been great. There's also been moments where you've got to look really long and hard to notice he's even on the basketball floor. Seriously, as wild as that sounds, there's been moments where you're like, is he even playing right now? You know, is he on the bench? The hot and cold stuff with Halliburton has been very strange, and I would expect him to come out tomorrow night and be an absolute bulldog. I would expect him to be a man on fire. I really would, because he's responded very well to those moments. But man, oh man, I mean, the difference between those two next to one another, Brunson and Halliburton, goodness gracious. I mean, Brunson is a load. And Tyrese Halliburton's a great player. I mean, I'm glad he's leading this Indiana Pacers franchise, but there's a difference between Brunson and Halliburton. There just is. There absolutely is. And I know different styles, and I know different philosophies, and I know all those things. Brunson's perfect for New York, but I got to tell you, he is as good for his team as anybody in the league. He's great. So I think tomorrow night is an interesting deal. I think for Pacers fans, look, going to a Game 7 would be outstanding to see. But that's my concern, and we'll talk about it more on Monday, regardless of how this series goes. But there's a lot of fascinating storylines about to hit coming up here in a little bit. But those are my thoughts on the Indiana Pacers. And again, tomorrow night is Game 6. The tip time for that is 8:30. As the Pacers look to send this series to its distance with Game 7 coming up on Sunday. I believe the Sunday tip time would be 3:30 if there is a Game 7 in this series. I think it's been a lot of fun. It's been physical. But obviously, the latest taste in the mouth, if you will, in game number 5 was a very, very tough one to see. And I think there's a lot riding on this for sure. So, again, tomorrow, 1925 Pump House at the Courtyard. Very excited to have Mike Fleck, Ball State men's golf coach. He's going to join us. Mid-American Conference Coach of the Year. Looks like we're going to have a couple golfers with us coming up tomorrow at the Pump House. We hope you can join us live on the patio tomorrow, as there's a lot to talk about with this team and the program and all those different things. And obviously some major championship golf going on as well. So we'll dive into that conversation as well. So that's coming your way. 1925 Pump House, the Courtyard, tomorrow from 4 to 5. We hope you can join us live right there. So, Indianapolis 500 coming up next week, qualifying this weekend. Things that you should be aware of for qualifying and the big race coming up a week from this Sunday. We'll try to get that all accomplished when we come back for the final segment of a Thursday show. We're back with you next, Power Talk on Muncie WMUN. As always, brought to you in part by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you get all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Glad you're with us on the program as always. And the Indianapolis 500 a week from Sunday. And look, I truly think, and I know we've said this for the last several years. We are going to have a very, very experienced field. I mean, a very experienced field. And to be honest with you, Kyle Larson is a name that's coming over from the NASCAR ranks that's going to make some hay. But I'm hearing that some of these Indy Lights drivers from the previous years that are coming up in our rookies, like, it feels like every single year the rookies are more and more prepared to contend right away than maybe ever. Because it really felt like for several years the veterans kind of ran the sport, and you would expect that in most sports, right? There's very few rookies that end up winning titles, or teams that are really young that win titles, if you will. And the Indianapolis 500 is one of those, the pinnacle of the racing profession in a lot of ways. And so I think those are some things to look out for. But with qualifying this weekend, again, I think you're going to see a lot of the familiar names. I do expect that Kyle Larson's going to be a part of that mix, that he's got a fast car. And, again, we know when it comes to qualifying that doesn't always lead to success in the race. There's been teams that have won with cars starting in the 20s and the middle of the pack in the teens. So, again, the whole event, the whole month of May is a lot of fun, and qualifying is a lot of fun. And especially this year where you have more cars than I believe that can enter the race. So you're going to have a little bit of bumping. You're going to have a little bit of drama there. That's always exciting and fun. But at the end of the day, next week is really when things get there. And you know what? I was talking to somebody while I was away that called and congratulated my wife and I and those sorts of things. And we were talking about the Indianapolis 500, and, there are very few sporting events in the country left that have as much tradition instilled in it than the Indianapolis 500. And the only sporting event that I could think of that has stayed with its traditions, not really changed, and they've almost made a novelty out of it, is the Masters. Because if you go to the race, the pre-race festivities are, such a cool experience. And there's so much tradition there, and they haven't really changed much over the years, over, 100-plus years of running that race. And, every single sport seems to kind of tinker to make things new, to make things fresh, and more power to them. But I don't know if there's a race or there's an event, and maybe the Kentucky Derby would be the other as well. I haven't had a chance to go to that. I just know from the Masters hearing others go, but the Indianapolis 500 I think is one of those that has stayed with its traditions and not really wavered off of it, and that's what makes it neat and cool. And the traditions trickle down to people parking in the same parking spots, same seats for decades, all of those different things, and that's what makes it super, super unique. So anyway, that's what stands out the most. We are live from the 1925 Pump House of the Courtyard tomorrow with Mike Flick, Ball State men's golf coach. He's going to join us on the patio there. Look forward to that. It's great to be back. Thanks for all the well wishes. Hope you have a great rest of your Thursday, and we'll talk to you live from the 1925 Pump House tomorrow at 4:00.